from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, it's Danger and Battaglia as we get ready for Buffalo Bills training camp. It is a week from Wednesday. Gino mentioned it. Rookies reporting, what, next?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the rookies
tomorrow,
report.
St.
John Fisher, we welcome in Ryan Talbot covering the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. Always good with his time to join us. Ryan, with training camp coming up a week from Wednesday, what are you most looking forward to after this offseason with the Bills?
You know, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to, but I think for me it's probably going to come down to what does this new wide receiver room look like? And even the offense as a whole, there's over 300 vacated targets in this offense that are going to get split around, whether it's tight ends like Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, some of the new wide receivers on this roster, or even, you know, some of the backs, maybe see a jump from James Cook. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how those vacated targets get split up. And, you know, this summer at training camp, that's where it starts. Who really stands out in this offense and shows that they're going to make the most of this opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking so much at the back end. I'm just thinking at the top end here, Ryan, because we know Kincaid. I think we can kind of pencil in he's going to at least get the same production, maybe a tick up, right? But how would you kind of assess the top end of the wide receiver room? You have Shakir, who last seven games, he was really good under the new coordinator, Brady. You have Curtis Samuel coming in. You have the second-round rookie, being the first overall pick in Keon Coleman. How do you see that kind of, I don't want to say battle, but that pecking order playing out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think to start the year, you're going to see Curtis Samuel maybe be that wide receiver one. And it's funny saying that he has inside-outside versatility. He's been a wide receiver two, wide receiver three in his career, never really had that opportunity to be a wide receiver one. But he's a guy that has has a year of experience in Joe Brady's offense, and he showed a lot in that season with over 1,000 total yards, 800-plus receiving, 200 yards rushing on the ground, showed his versatility. So to reunite with Joe Brady, and for the first time in his career, be on an offense with good quarterback play. I mean, that 2020 year was with Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the ball. So he hasn't had much success with quarterbacks in terms of his time at Carolina or with the or in Washington. So this is going to be a big jump for him in terms of the QB play. That alone, I see him really being able to hit the ground running here in Buffalo. Khalil Shakir would be that next guy I have slotted in. Obviously saw a huge jump in production from 161 yards as a rookie to 611 yards, was catching everything his way in at the end of the season. His final five games, the last three regular season and two playoff games, I believe he caught 23 of 25 targets, sure hand making big plays after the catch. And now you have another offseason of him training with Eric Moulds, working on certain parts of his game that the Bills, I'm sure, identified as needs. I'm excited to see what he looks like in year three. Keon Coleman would be number three for me in terms of that trio you mentioned, just because I think rookies, it takes some time to get them acclimated, whether it's learning the new playbook, whether it's just, you know, experience against NFL cornerbacks. And that's going to be a big change for Keon Coleman in terms of maybe the types of players that he sees week in, week out. I know that at Florida State, he played some really good competition, obviously, at that position. But in my opinion, there's always that learning curve for the wide receiver position. And I think as the year goes on, you'll see him factor in more in this offense. But maybe starting out, he's going to be more of that red zone threat.
And you mentioned Keon Coleman. As far as rookies go, I think he'll probably get a lot of attention. A lot of fans will be looking at Coleman to see what he looks like early on in camp and through the preseason. I'm very curious to see what the Bills do and how they use Ray Davis, the impact that Ray Davis may have behind James Cook in that Bills backfield. What's your take on Davis going into camp?
Davis is interesting because, you know, in the spring he was a little bit banged up already. The Bills obviously liked him, taking him early on day three in this draft class. But what's he going to do this summer? Because he has a viable competitor for that running back two job in Ty Johnson. So Davis, first and foremost, has to be able to stay healthy. And then this summer there's going to be a lot of boxes that he needs to check. You know, is he sure with the ball? Does he not fumble the ball? Is he protected? Is he good as a blocker? Can he catch the ball out of the backfield as well as a lot of these draft analysts say he can? Sean McDermott doesn't hesitate to slow play his rookies unless it is an absolute need. And obviously with James Cook as their number one running back, there's not a huge need necessarily for Ray Davis to start out in a big role. I think by the end of the season, he's most likely to be that running back too for this team. But I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Ty Johnson starts the year as that number two running back.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here in the sports bar. I can't call him a forgotten guy, but he's come up with touchdowns in the playoffs. He has been one of the trusted targets for Josh Allen. Where does Dawson Knox kind of fit into all this? If we're assuming that Kincaid is really taking over as tight end one, are the Bills going to carve out a special role or for Knox? Maybe Knox is, we're going to see him in a rotation. How do you see this working out? Because I can tell you one thing, like looking at the dead cap figure of $24 million, that's Dawson Knox is going to be a Buffalo Bill this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting. It's one of the more interesting topics that maybe doesn't get discussed enough about this offense because, you know, Knox was unseated last year when he went out with that injury. Dalton Kincaid showed why the Bills took him in the first round. And everyone, I think, obviously expects Kincaid to take this monster jump in year two. But I still think the Bills are going to find ways to get Dawson Knox on the field, whether it's two tight end sets or rotate him in. He's still an asset in terms of his blocking ability in the red zone. He's another guy that makes big catches on a regular basis. So while I do think you're going to see maybe a definite decrease in play in snaps, you still have to factor him in, especially when, like you said, you look at this wide receiver room and all the uncertainty there.
And that part of that uncertainty is, I mean, you've got a few really kind of good names kind of bubbling under here and right on that cut line for the Buffalo Bills in the wide receiver room. Guys that we've heard a lot about this offseason, Mac Hollins for being kind of a vocal leader in the wide receiver room, Chase Claypool for making some plays, MVS for having dinner with Josh Allen, I guess. But you've got guys like KJ Hamler, you've got guys like Andy Isabella that have had some success in this league in the past and might find themselves on the outside looking in. When you look at all of this, who do you think could surprise in terms of showing up and making this team at the end of training camp as a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, you know, first of all, I do have Mac Hollins as a lock to make this roster.
Okay.
I know he was underwhelming in Atlanta last year, but look at the quarterback play there. I mean, there was no good quarterback play whatsoever. And the year before that, he put up big numbers when he was in Las Vegas, quality numbers for that wide receiver four type of player, special teams ability, great blocker. I look at him as a guy that's going to make this roster. But after him, it does get a little shaky. You know, MVS, you mentioned, had dinner with Josh Allen. He's also guaranteed about $2.25 million on that contract. And the Bills did add a void year or two to that deal to kind of push some of the money down. I think that despite his lack of production last year in KC, the drop issues, he's still a guy that can stretch the field for you, and that opens things up underneath. So I like his odds too. But after that, that's when it's like, who's going to step up? Because I think they do carry six wide receivers. Right now, going into camp, I have my odds on Chase Claypool. Came into this league really strong as a rookie 2020. Almost mirrored that production as in his sophomore season. He did see a big drop in his touchdowns in year two. But once Ben Roethlisberger's arm went, you saw that dip in production. When he goes to Chicago, we know all the Chicago quarterback issues up until, you know, obviously them drafting Caleb Williams this year in the draft. So didn't have great quarterback play there. And then traded again to the Dolphins in October of last season. Just didn't really probably have enough time to adjust. So I think based on the production, he's that guy that might surprise some people in terms of making this roster. KJ Hamler would be a fun story, former second-round pick, a lot of speed. But, man, you look at his injury history, and you're talking hamstring, ACL injury. He has had a heart irritation issue last year that kind of came on the radar in I believe it was August of 2023. So he's had some injuries and some bad luck. He's a guy that just needs to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I like one thing I think, Ryan, we don't talk enough about is the new kickoff rule. And honestly, I think that if Sean McDermott was on the competition committee, knowing that this is something coming down the pike, I hope there is a plan for the Bills to, I don't know if exploit is the right word, but take advantage here of this. And I guess it all starts with the personnel here. And of everybody that you're looking here that's going to be reporting to Fisher here, does anybody jump out at you? You mentioned Hamler. That could be one guy. But is there anybody that we could see as being that guy who could pop one off here occasionally for Buffalo?
Yeah, maybe Hardy that they took on day three in the draft, that nickel cornerback behind Taron Johnson. He has some return experience. I could see him maybe that being the way that he earns that game day jersey week in, week out. Someone that has had some big returns in his career as a, you know, punt returner, kick returner. So that's one guy that I would keep an eye on there. In terms of the receivers, though, who knows? I mean, some of those back end guys, that might be how they make this roster at the end of the day. But for me, I would go with Hardy in terms of a guy to keep an eye on for that kick return, punt return job.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Another rookie that I'm going to be paying attention to at camp when it opens up a week from Wednesday, Ryan, Cole Bishop is, you know, the second round pick out of Utah and you know, has a pathway to the field if he can beat out a guy like Taylor Rapp or a guy like Mike Edwards. What chance do you give Cole Bishop of making an impact early in his rookie season?
I think he has a really good chance of making an impact early. And, you know, Mike Edwards, I like the player, good veteran, played in a great scheme in Kansas City. So comes from really good coaching as well. I'm sure that the Bills prioritized that when they were looking for some safety options. Taylor Rapp did look better as the year went on after in his first season in Buffalo, but you don't draft Cole Bishop in round two and kind of just sit him for a good portion of his rookie year. You want that athleticism. You want that chess piece out there. This is a guy that moves extremely well for his size. He's someone that blitzes extremely well. I think that the Bills look at him and they probably get excited in all the ways that they can use him. And while, you know, you want to make sure your rookies are comfortable with the playbook before you throw them out there, in terms of the talent level and the production, I think there is a gap there between him and guys like Rapp and Edwards. So I don't think it'll take long for Cole Bishop to make an impact for this defense.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. He'll be one of the many who will be making their way through Western New York, through Rochester coming up beginning next week. Ryan, one of the storylines, well, it's similar to a couple years ago. Actually, I'll phrase it this way. The Bills have had a big-name defensive player who's been on the mend every training camp here. 2 years ago, it was Tre'Davious White, and we saw how the Bills slow played that. And maybe Wright wasn't – he was in shape, but he wasn't in, quote-unquote, football shape. We didn't see him until later in the year. Same deal with Von Miller, and Von Miller now kind of rewriting his own story, saying he wishes that he didn't play, paraphrasing there, of course. But what about Matt Milano here? Matt Milano, a different injury for sure, but – still severe enough to keep him out of the season. How do you think the Buffalo Bills play the Matt Milano kind of timeline here? Because if judging by the past where we thought White would be out there and we thought Von Miller would be out there and now they were just working off to the side, any indication what we may see out of Matt Milano this camp?
No concrete inclination yet, but I think the fact that he was out there in the spring doing things is a very encouraging sign. It wasn't guaranteed. Sean McDermott kind of said, well, we might have him out there doing some things. But then he was taking parts in drills, and, you know, you saw him. He looked like he had some maybe of that burst, and he was looking better. There was so much unknown about his injury, whether, you know, planned or unplanned. The Bills kind of saying it's something they had never dealt with before. Definitely, you know, played on the cautious side in terms of keeping him out, never even opened the possibility of saying that he could come back in time for the playoffs last season. But based on the fact of what we saw from him in the spring, I think that there's a better chance of seeing him on the field in week one or early in the season than it was for Von Miller or Trey White 2 years ago.
Ryan, it may be not the sexiest topic, but every year we have to evaluate and look at what's going on with the Bills' offensive line. And I'm a little bit down on what they could do this year because I think last year was extremely fortunate for them to play the entire season essentially with the same five guys up front. Deion Dawkins has never started the season with the same guard twice. That continues with McGovern sliding over to center and Edwards presumably starting at left guard. What's your evaluation of the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills as they head to St. John Fisher?
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about this unit going into this season. And, you know, time will tell if I'm right to be in that regard. But I think Aaron Cromer is one of the best in the game in terms of coaching up the offensive line. And going into this season, I feel like you're going to see some, from left to right, a really more powerful maybe offensive line. That might be the best way to put it. I think you're going to see them blocking in the run game even better than they did 1 year ago. I think that you might see Josh Allen even have a little bit extra time in the passing game. You know, you mentioned Deion Dawkins. He is still playing at an elite level at left tackle. We'll see how the guard play next to him affects him. Obviously, there has been some years where the guard play has been a little bit down, and Dawkins hasn't looked as elite or as at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type level as we saw 1 year ago. So, you know, who's that going to be? Well, you mentioned one option in David Edwards. It could be Cedric Van Pran Granger, a guy that they drafted on day three that a lot of people kind of projected him to be a center, but the Bills say they look at him as a guard and center, depending on what happens there. But I love the right side of this line. Osiris Torrence in year two, he was a guy whose name you never heard in the regular season, and that's the best thing, the best compliment you can give an O-lineman. I think in year two, you're going to see a big jump from him. Spencer Brown playing in a contract year, trying to show that he is the right tackle of the future for this team after a really good year 1 year ago. It's going to come down to health for him and building off of that season. And then at center, McGovern has said, you know, this is his most, that's his best position. He's most comfortable there. He has a bigger wingspan than Mitch Morse. I think he brings a little bit more power to the offensive line at that center position, whereas Morse had to rely on his athleticism, which he did a great job of doing. But I really do like that O-line from, you know, left tackle to right tackle, and some of the depth there, too, is going to make it pretty intriguing this summer.
Ryan, it's funny because we can have a lot of fun conversation talking about all these different positional battles and who may make the team. Ultimately, in my opinion, if the Bills want to get to where they're going, it depends on can Josh Allen take that next step. And Let me just read this quote for everybody. We haven't brought this up on the show yet, but Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, sits down with the unnamed executive. He provides this quote. Now, the disclaimer here, Ryan, whenever you're going to the unsourced or the nameless executive, whatever, yes, understandably, you'd rather have somebody put their name on it, but here is the quote on Josh Allen. Quote, "One of the more overrated players in the NFL. Immense talent, but he makes a lot of mistakes. He's underdeveloped at winning at the line of scrimmage, tends to lock on targets, more of a thrower than precision passer, forces throws into traffic." Ryan, is that fair or not?
No, that's not fair, and I'm guessing that executive will be looking for work sooner rather than later if that's his analysis of Josh Allen. You know, Allen, you live with the turnovers. He's high up there, but he's also number one in terms of total touchdowns over the course of his career. He's someone that has helped turn this franchise around, made them a perennial Super Bowl contender year in, year out. There are certainly weaknesses in his game, but to call him one of the more overrated quarterbacks is asinine, in my opinion.
Ryan, the pass rush is another area that we look at and think, all right, how can this get better this season, or how can we improve over what they had last season? And there's a name that I'm intrigued by because I feel like it went kind of under the radar as far as the signing goes. Is Dwayne Smoot anything for this rotation of pass rushers for the Buffalo Bills defense going into camp?
You know, he's going to have to show it this summer. He's someone, though, that was coming off of a serious injury in Jacksonville. But before that injury, he was someone that you could count on for, you know, 5.5 to 7.5 sacks pretty regularly. If he can return to form and do that, the Bills would love to have him as edge rusher number four in that rotation. Obviously, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, I have on the top line, A.J. Epenesa claiming one of those spots. But, you know, Smoot has to kind of show that he is that player and he can be that player. And we know how it can take some time for players to return to form at the edge rusher position, as we saw 1 year ago in Von Miller. There's a ton of question marks about this edge rusher depth. Is Kingsley Jonathan going to step up in that spot? Or is it a Cameron Klein, Javon Solomon, who they drafted this year, who had a lot of production at Troy? And listen, Troy's produced some pretty good pass rushers in their day, but you don't know until you kind of get out there and in the pads to see what these guys can do. And Smoot has a track record of production, but he also is coming off of a pretty legitimate injury and has to show that he is that player of old.
Ryan, do I owe you an apology? Did we interrupt the Shout podcast? Because I'm looking at this screenshot of Perino and this bewildered look on his face while you're on the phone with me as we're just coming on a commercial break. Do I owe you an Perino apology here?
No, you know, we're taping our positional previews, and we were starting it at 3. I thought we were going to get the first one done by that certain time. And we went, you know, we were finishing it up, and I'm like, oh, man, I wasn't looking at my cell phone clock there, and I saw it ringing there at the end. So, you know, just kind of a trying to get that first one in and didn't finish that first episode in time.
Ryan, we're excited. Can't wait for a week from Wednesday when it all opens up at St. John Fisher. We'll be following along with what you and Matt are kicking out at NewYorkUpstate.com and the Shop podcast. And maybe we get you out for a plate this year. We know Perino won't do it, but we can get you out. You're a plate aficionado.
Yeah, come on, Ryan. Let's do it.
Absolutely. I will be there the 26th and the 28th, so I'll be there that whole weekend. So we can definitely plan something then. I know August 4th I'll be there as well, but we're also having wing nuts in that day. So maybe we'll have you guys come for some wing nuts at Dorado.
Whoa. That is some breaking news here in the sports.
Yeah. Live right, podcast live coming podcast. Up August right. 4th. Got it, Ryan. We'll mark that on our calendar. Check. Thanks for the time as always, buddy.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, covering the Buffalo Bills. You can hear him with our buddy Matt Perino as well on the Shout podcast, which I guess we'll be doing a live pod on August 4th, as camp is getting set to wrap up from Dorado there on Park Avenue.
Yeah, hopefully, wing nuts. Yeah, hopefully they don't run out of wings this year.
No. So it was quite a scene as somebody who went down to support our guys. That was a scene for sure. Great stuff from Ryan. We'll have more Bills talk coming up with Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive Buffalo Rumblings. He'll be stopping by the sports bar right around 4:25.
Yeah, we've got time for your calls on the other side. Our phone number is 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Some takes here coming up. boy, we lost a lot of people over the weekend, non-sports take, but one of them actually kind of sticks out. And actually, the person who we lost over the weekend, Danger, I think you and your wife should learn something from this. Time. It's valuable.
Richard Simmons?
No.
Oh.
But I'll explain. Also, the Olympics are coming up in 2028 in Los Angeles, right?
Right?
Yes.
No.
Oh. They're outsourcing. There's a city the size of Rochester that's going to be hosting events. It's not in California. I'll explain.
You mentioned how you had a tweet that got some national notoriety this weekend, Gino. I also engaged with somebody with a large following and saw an engagement with he and I talking non-sports take, but an update on our fruit of the year conversation.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll get into that. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a big day happening this week for a lot of sports fans. And I'm saying that if today is our final Monday without football until President's Day, I think Friday we need to clarify. Friday should be a special holiday, with finger quotes, holiday as well. And I might need the day on Friday.
Friday. Okay. I'm trying to think what that day might be.
We'll get into it next. And we have time for your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.